again to Exodus chapter 20 as we continue in our study on the Ten Commandments, the summary of God's moral law. Our reading this morning is verses 8 through 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. God's word says this to us, His people. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this Sabbath day. We thank you for the Sabbath rest and ask that you bless it. We ask also that you help us to understand it and to practice it and to make it holy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. People of my age, and some of you who may be generations younger, especially if you grew up in New England, probably read the novel Johnny Tremaine. I don't know about what they did in the rest of the country, but I know that here in New England, most of us in elementary school or maybe in junior high school read this novel about colonial New England, colonial Boston, in fact. The main character was Johnny Tremaine, a fictional character. Many of the characters in the book, however, were not fictional. The characters themselves, they were people who actually took part in the life of the colonial days leading up to the American Revolution. Johnny Tremaine was a silversmith's apprentice, and he was very skilled, and he was very conscientious about his job. So much so that one time when his master could not finish a very important job that was due the following week, Johnny Tremaine went into the silversmith shop on the Sabbath day to work on completing this project. Now that was a risky proposition in colonial New England, because there were such things as Sabbath patrols who actually went around to shake the doors of various business establishments to make sure they were closed and no one was in there working and breaking the Sabbath. There were a couple of times during his work that day that Johnny actually had to go hide in a corner. But on that day also, he had an accident and molten silver was poured onto one of his hands, fusing a thumb and a finger together, making him useless as a silversmith, among other things. Of course, he is told by several people that this is God's swift retribution for his having broken the Sabbath. Brothers and sisters, this is not what God intends for the Sabbath, that we hide in shadows. God is not interested in Sabbath patrols. He's not interested in mind police and some kind of church-led Gestapo mentality. Now, there's a lot of controversy in the church as to just how much the fourth commandment requires of us. What exactly constitutes full observance of this command to honor the Sabbath day by keeping it holy? What is clear, however, is this. God requires that the Sabbath day be a special day, devoted even more to holiness than the other six. That is what God's requiring. Verse 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath day." So how do we do that? How do we remember the Sabbath day? Well, first we do so by keeping it holy. And secondly, we do it by keeping it restful. And third, we honor it by keeping it worshipful. First, honor the Sabbath by keeping it holy. Verse 8 says exactly that. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. To say, keep it holy, assumes that it already is holy. God created the Sabbath day for it to be holy. Jesus Christ, God Himself, second person of the Trinity, honored the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is a gift from God. Unfortunately, many, many people are more inclined to see it as a burden, but it is a gift. Yet even gifts can be rejected, can't they? How many times have we opened that package on Christmas Day and gotten books? Well, these days, of course, I cherish those kinds of gifts, but when you're a child, you get a gift of books, or worse, clothing, and you sort of reject the gift, even if you don't say it out loud. You're not crazy about the gift. Yes, even gifts, things that are given to us, can be rejected. Sometimes good gifts are simply not appreciated. We should work on appreciating this one. Christians are called to actively be involved in making the Sabbath day holy. Or the Lord's Day, as we now celebrate. Keeping it holy. Now, you know, like many things that have to do with Christian observance, what this means practically for the Christian today is that we have to go against the entire trend of our society. It means working against the ways that our culture profanes and demeans the Sabbath. Society is involved in corporate Sabbath abuse. And that's what we have to stand against if we're going to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Let's just look at two forms of Sabbath abuse. First, there's repression. The Pharisees, whom you may remember, were sticklers for a lot of things. They were sticklers for the observance of the law. And they had about 1,500 different rules about how one is breaking the Sabbath. 1,500 rules that basically state, if you do this, you're a Sabbath breaker. They, of course, had also a great number of ingenious loopholes to keep them able to legally break those 1,500 rules. I know I've told you the story about the Sabbath day walk. This is just one Example, the Pharisees decreed that you could only walk so far on the Sabbath day. If you walk beyond that, you're working on the Sabbath. And usually that meant walking from your home to wherever the Sabbath day observances were being held. So what they did was they tied ropes around the entire village, sometimes out onto paths into the woods, and they were attached to either to your home or to the place where the worship was being observed. And if you held onto that rope, you were still in a Sabbath day walk. They were strict observers of the law, but also strict observers of the loopholes. There's an old story, no doubt true and no doubt repeated numerous times all over colonial New England, about a sea captain who returned home from having been at sea for 2 years, and he kissed his wife, and it was immediately put in the stocks because it was the Sabbath. You remember what the stocks were? Wooden contraptions into which one's wrists and neck were placed, and you were put in the town square to be humiliated. That for kissing his wife upon returning home from 2 years at sea. This is a form of repression and spiritual abuse. It's using the Sabbath, a good gift from God, to abuse people. Scripture does not teach anything like this in connection with keeping the Sabbath. In fact, in Mark 2:27, Jesus is quoted as saying, "The Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is for our good." It's not to be used as an opportunity for overzealous religious leaders to clamp down on us. Keeping the Sabbath day holy does not mean repressing all human activities. So let's look at a second form of Sabbath abuse, and that's transgression. We move from repression to transgression. A transgression is the breaking of a law or a command. It's crossing the line from legitimate to illegitimate activity, from lawful to unlawful activity. And for us today, if we are to keep the Sabbath holy, we need to recognize that Sunday is the most hectic day of the week for most people in our society. If you're going to wash the car, Sunday seems to be the only day for some people. Almost every athletic league, from T-ball to junior league softball and football and soccer and wrestling, all the way up to even church-related colleges and universities, they all play on Sunday. Let's face it. Most of the activities in which the bulk of our society is involved on Sundays are not things that we could even remotely relate to holiness, to keeping the Sabbath holy. And these are things that are often done not in addition to our church attendance, but instead of taking time for worship, corporate worship of the Holy Creator of all things, instead of taking a holy rest. And that's what we're going to look at next. Keeping the Sabbath day, remembering the Sabbath, means keeping it restful. Verses 9 and 10, we read this: 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien living within your gates. It says, on the seventh day, that's when you rest. Seventh day. Now, does that refer to Saturday? There are entire denominations built around that belief. In fact, the word Sabbath comes from the word seven. My answer is not necessarily. It is not necessarily Saturday. In this context, I submit to you that what it means is the day that's left over after you've worked six. Was it a Saturday when God ceased from His creative labors? I think that if God took a look at the calendar after having worked 6 days to create everything that is, He might have found it blank. It wasn't necessarily a Saturday. It was the seventh day, the day after 6 days. The point here is that we are to cease from our labors one day in seven. We are not to treat all 7 days alike. Let's take a little bit closer look at this, just a little bit closer. First, rest implies work. Read verse 9 again. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Having a rest day implies having work days. This commandment, rather than being oppressive and repressive, is very positive in its outlook. It teaches us the beauty and the necessity for time off from our daily labors. Among other things, it says, don't work 7 days. Listen to what the Apostle Paul has to say about labor. Found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Paul writes this. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anyone. Be quiet, keep your nose out of other people's business, and work, so that you will not be dependent. And then we turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we pick up in verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 to 10. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a good model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. Now, does this mean that we all have to be involved in manual labor? He said, do the work with your hands. Does it mean that we all have to have careers? Does it mean that we even have to have gainful employment. In other words, stuff you get paid for. No to all the above. What it means is that there is dignity in all forms of labor. That's what God teaches. Being busy at work is a form of obedience, no matter what you're working at. You could be working at being a student, a craftsman, a laborer, an engineer, a professor, a housewife. The object is to do all the labor to the glory of God and to be sure that at least one day in seven is a day of rest, a Sabbath day, the gift that God has given us, a day of rest and a day of worship. Now, there are people who have physical limitations, or in some cases, emotional or mental limitations. Whether God is going to hold them accountable to be idle, I doubt. Because there are many, numerous passages in Scripture that teach us about compassion and giving to those who are in need, taking care of those in our community who are not able to take care of themselves. But let's not use that as an excuse. God has called us not to be idle for 6 days, but He's also called us to be idle on the seventh. The second thing about this rest is we need to beware of holy work. The seventh day is declared to be a Sabbath. We need to be careful not to fall into the trap of having so many holy and religious duties and activities on the Sabbath day that we miss the rest and the holiness and the worship. People get so wrapped up in doing things in and for the church that sometimes they don't get the opportunity to reflect upon the corporate worship experience or the sermons that they may have heard that day. When your churchly chores interfere with a real observance of the Sabbath day, something has to go. And it's not the Sabbath day. So let's look at the third point this morning about remembering the Sabbath. How do we do that? We do it by keeping it worshipful. Verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." God made everything. Keeping it worshipful, keeping the Sabbath worshipful, means stopping to reflect on the Creator and His creation. And I emphasize the word stopping. We often hear the expression from people, "Take time to stop and smell the roses." Well, it's often used in lame contexts. But the emphasis is, if you're going to smell the rose, you can't do it on the fly. You need to stop. And we also need to stop. We need to be still and know that He is God. A couple of things that we can keep in mind regarding keeping it worshipful. First, reflect on His creation. We should thank God every day. But every day we're in the midst of our world of work, our world of other activities, and that's not the same as stopping to worship the Creator and reflect upon His creation. You know, when we go to a museum, we can tell the difference between painters. You don't have to be greatly skilled to look at a Degas painting of a ballerina and recognize that it's masterful and that anybody can paint dancers. Well, okay, anybody but me. But a lot of people can paint dancers. A lot of people have painted ballerinas. But a painting of a ballerina is not a Degas. Something that I write that is going to be set to music is going to sound just a little bit different than something that Johann Sebastian Bach might have written. You can tell the difference as to who created it. We need to take time to stop and thank the Creator of all good things rather than doing what Paul has told us about in Romans chapter 1, worshiping the created things rather than the Creator. The Creator makes a difference. The author makes a difference. We need to stop and wonder and marvel at the Creator. And the Sabbath day is a special day created just for that purpose. Doesn't mean we can't do it every other day, but this is a special day for us to do that. The second thing that we can do in order to help us to keep it worshipful is to go to church. The Hebrews 10:25, we're told, do not skip church. Do not forsake the gathering together of the saints, as some are in the habit of doing. You've probably read or at least heard that verse before. Did you ever wonder why it needed to be written? First century, people were already skipping church. They were already making excuses for not showing up at church. Oh, my best toga needed repair. My best sandals were at the sandal maker's shop. Streets were too dusty. Or the streets were wet. Or the streets were rutted. Our roof was leaking. I'm exercising my liberty in Christ. Sound familiar? Let me bring you back to the passage that Henry read for us a little while ago in Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58:13-14. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you keep the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to rise on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Don't break the Sabbath. don't do as you please on His holy day. And you notice that God says here, on my holy day. The Sabbath was created for man and not man for the Sabbath, and yet God still calls it His holy day. We are His people. And His holy day is made for His holy people. If you honor it by not going in your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, those are the things we're not supposed to do. Doing whatever we feel like doing. Speaking idle words. What's going to happen then? You see, it's a positive statement. Don't do this stuff. And you know what's going to happen to you? You will find joy. Tomorrow, most of you have to go to work or school at some point during the day. And you will. Why? Many reasons. You like the paycheck. You're afraid of your boss. You enjoy work. The bill collectors are breathing down your neck. There are any number of reasons, but for the most part, most people who are not sick, when it comes time to go to work, they are there. But come Sunday morning, all it takes is a little cough, whether it's a real one or one that we just imagined. Or somebody's invitation to be somewhere else. I heard someone standing right here one morning asked, "Hey, what are you doing here? I thought you were going to be somewhere else." "Oh, well, I didn't have anything better to do." The Sabbath day is not for those who don't have anything better to do. The Sabbath day is for those who wish to come together with others of like mind, others who believe as they do that Jesus is the Christ, that God is the Creator and the Sustainer, and the Holy Spirit is the one who applies that work in our lives. They want to come and worship together on that day. Have you ever considered the payoff? You get a paycheck when you go to work. You get God's joy when you come to church. God's joy. Joy, fellowship, learning more about Him, plus being in obedience to Him. He has told us both in His Old Testament and in His New Testament that we should go to church, that we should be among the saints, that we should be together to worship as a body of believers. To do otherwise is to break the Sabbath. I don't often quote to you from books. I'm going to make an exception this morning. In 1720, Thomas Boston, a famous Puritan preacher, wrote this about some people and why they wouldn't like heaven. Okay? This is people who wouldn't like heaven. He writes, "They would find this fault with it, that the whole is of everlasting continuance. This would be a killing ingredient in it to them. How would such as now account the Sabbath day a burden, brook the celebration of an everlasting Sabbath in the heavens? If you can't take an hour or an hour and a half of worship now, why would you want to be in heaven?" In the first century, the writer of the Hebrews had to tell people, "Look, you're supposed to be in church. Some of you have stopped being in church. Don't do that. In the 18th century, Thomas Boston had to write that there are many people who just can't stand being in church. And all the centuries in between and all the centuries since, there have been those who would find any reason to be elsewhere. And sadly, many of them call themselves by the name of Christ. Worship, Sabbath observance, is not meant to be bondage. It is rather an opportunity to refresh one's body and soul, and to be with others who profess those same beliefs that we profess. That we have a love for the Creator and for His Son, the Savior, and the Holy Spirit who applies salvation to our souls. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let's pray. Our Father, teach us how better to keep it holy, how better to observe your holy day, the day that you created, the day that you presented to us as a gift. We ask your blessing even upon those who were not here to hear this exhortation about honoring your Sabbath day. We pray that we would all be better at observing all the days of your creation. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.